This is Farfetched Threads, our people podcast, where you can hear the real stories about life as a Farfetcher.
Hello, and welcome to today's episode of Farfetched Threads, our people podcast. I'm Erica Nitsch, Senior Data Science Manager, and today I'll be talking to Adam Dathy, Head of Data, and Paolo Zoccante, Senior Data Science Manager, on the topic of working in data at Farfetch. So hi to both of you. How are you doing today? How are you dealing with our British summer?
Hi, Erica. Yeah, doing all right. Seems relatively sunny, so it's a nice surprise.
It's the best that we can hope for, right?
Yeah, it's fine for September. It's really perfect.
And that brings us onto a great topic, which is the fact that we are all calling from London today, but actually we as a data team have people all over the world. So I thought as an introduction, I wanted to mention that the data at Farfetch exists to power decisions, whether that's automating the product recommendations that we show on our website or doing a deep dive of our marketing strategies. And what's great is that you guys are together with me, we cover pretty much the full spectrum of what we do in data at Farfetch. We're representing data engineering, data analytics, and data science. So even though we're all dialing in from near London today, we are able to speak about the kind of full breadth of what we do in data at Farfetch. So I wanted to start getting to know you guys a little bit better. Obviously, I know you already, but I think our audience would like to hear. So to start with, I was wondering, Adam, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your Farfetch journey?
Sure. So I have a background initially in strategy consulting. I worked mainly with publishing companies, trying to work out how to take an offering online and how you can monetize, starting to earn money from like online publications. I worked for consulting for startups, and then I actually started working at a startup for a few years and built up their BI and data team and took over the operations of the company. I then worked as a data consultant and contractor for a couple of years. And it was actually as a data contractor that I started working at Farfetch. So I had a kind of pipeline of work, but then I went traveling with my girlfriend and COVID hit. And when I came back, my pipeline wasn't quite as robust as it had been before. And I went to my usual clients and they were all waiting to see what's going to happen with their own projects. And then Farfetch had an offering. So I joined as a contractor about a year ago, spent the first 6 months as a contractor working within marketing analytics and building up the Reporting Solutions Hub. And now that I've joined as a PM, I've taken over the Reporting Solutions Hub as the kind of full-time manager, as well as part of the engineering part at Farfetch.
That's great. So one of the positives that came out of COVID is the fact that we got to work with you at Farfetch.
It is.
That's great. That's great.
Although not necessarily meet me in person.
That's true. Yeah, as far as I know, you're like 7 feet tall. We'll never know. Now, I wanted to know, Paolo, the same for you, because you joined long before COVID. Is that right?
Yes, I joined 4.5 years ago. At the time, I was working my first data science job that was in a very different environment because it was a tiny, really early stage startup in which I was pretty much the only data person, so doing a bit of everything. And I joined originally as an individual contributor working on pricing, and then I've been asked to start teams working in different areas. And so that's how I ended up creating and managing the teams working on commercial data science and marketing data science within Farfetch.
That's great. And speaking of doing a little bit of everything, we're gonna touch on that as our conversation goes on. A little bit of an introduction to me is I joined Farfetch almost exactly 2 years ago today. And before I was at Farfetch, I was the head of data for a startup working in fashion technology. We had an avatar doing a virtual try-on thing. And before that, I was actually an archaeologist working in academia, which is a fact that most people are surprised to learn and then end up remembering about me. And what I like to say is that working with e-commerce data is just as exciting as working, understanding the data about the Bronze Age. The difference is that nobody's dead yet. So touching on this topic that I mentioned, that we've got a real breadth of what we do at Farfetch across data science, data analytics, data engineering. I was wondering, and maybe we'll start with Paolo here, what for you is the difference between a data scientist, a data analyst, and a data engineer?
Well, first of all, I want to start by saying that the definitions in the data field aren't as consistent and crystallized across different businesses. So what I will discuss today is how we see those definitions within Farfetch. That's not necessarily an industry-wide standard. Regarding data science for us, that's specifically about creating machine learning solutions and experimentation. So that's really about solving and automating problems at scale and creating data science products that are designed to stay in production and really automate decision-making, potentially at a very granular level at scale. This is also something that other businesses call machine learning engineering. Again, there is not a single standard in the industry, but we call it data science.
Yeah, and I'm guessing also that you and I, and actually all three of us, have probably seen these terms evolve in how they get used just even over the course of our careers since we've been working in this area. Like, I only became a data scientist 6 years ago, and I think that the term, the way that we use the terms in the industry, has really started to shift even within that short term. And I was wondering, Adam, for you, what do you think the difference is between a data scientist, you know, doing more at Farfetch, doing more of that automation type work that Paolo said, and a data analyst?
So I would probably say that a data analyst deals with reporting and analytics up until the point that the data scientists take over. So the main job of an analyst is to create reports and to generate insights that are ideally actionable off the back of investigating their data. Whereas, as Paolo mentioned, data scientists at Farfetch are a lot more about creating machine learning models. And interestingly, that also means that at Farfetch, an analyst can do what perhaps in some other organizations you might give to a data scientist. So some of the actual investigation, some of level of experimentation, A/B testing, and looking at kind of causal relationships would actually be done in Farfetch by more of an analyst.
Yeah, I agree with you. When I get asked this question a lot, both by people who are thinking of joining us at Farfetch, as well as just people generally in the business, because I think they look at me and they can see the kind of both data scientists and data analysts reporting to me, and they say, what's the difference? And what I usually like to say is that a data analyst helps the business make one decision really well, you know, a really difficult situation. And this all gets back to, of course, data powers decisions, which is how we do deliver value with data at Farfetch, or I think at any big company. So as the data analyst is there really doing that deep dive understanding of a complex situation and coming up with a recommendation to the business based on the data. Whereas I see the data scientist doing more what Paolo said, they're not just informing one decision, but they're building the software that automates thousands of decisions. So for example, around what products we should list in on a page when a customer goes to view a page, decisions like that are ones that we can automate through data science. I was wondering if we're imagining somebody listening to this podcast, maybe they're interested in applying for a role with us in data at Farfetch. Is there any advice that you would give to them? Paolo, I think you and I were talking earlier. You've got some advice for them.
Yeah, I think this is also related to what we were discussing earlier about the fact that the job titles are a bit fluid. So my first piece of advice would be to really have a look at the job descriptions. We in Farfetch, we do put a lot of effort in trying to write them in a way which is consistent with the profiles we're looking for. And so we're trying to be specific. It's also possible to reach out to either people within the team or the talent team to ask for clarifications. And I think we tend to be very friendly, very approachable. So I absolutely recommend to reach out in case you still have any questions.
I mean, to build upon what Paolo was saying, I think when it comes to having these kind of fluid job descriptions, it's important that when a candidate applies that they're honest about what they would like from the position, and they can, as long as they're open from the beginning, it means you can actually have an honest conversation about whether the role is right for them. And then usually the talent people team and the manager will want to have a conversation with you about what actually is right and finding the right position. It's not like you've only got one shot at it. if you're not right for one team, there's probably another position in the company that we'd want to put you forward for.
And we do recommend people for other roles. I understand it's a bit confusing because we have dozens of opening at any point in time, probably. If we see a candidate that isn't the best fit for the role we're looking at, but might be a better fit for another role we are aware of, we would recommend this candidate for the other position. So there's this level of flexibility as well within Farfetch.
I have another recommendation, which is, this is, I mean, obviously we want you to be very technically good for the specific role that you've applied for, but that's something that comes across during the interview process. One of the other things that we look at candidates for is their fit for Farfetch. And, you know, we care about whether you have the right fits for the values that we think are important. So like to the Shuntos, working together, you know, thinking globally. And there's a big whole section about just your learning and development. So your ability to take feedback, to be honest and open in your communication, to be able to grow and develop. So those are things that we would also expect people to be able to give examples of, to talk about confidently.
Yeah, I do a lot of those interviews, not just for my teams, but also for other teams. I do a lot of those interviews around more of the soft skills. And I gotta say, it's one of my favorite things about working at Farfetch, that we put so much emphasis about finding people who will grow with us as the company grows, who are great fits for us, you know, not just today, but in the future. I love that we, even though we're aiming for this amazing technical excellence in what we do, we also look at the whole package of the whole person. We really like that.
Oh, Erica did mine, or one of mine.
I did. Oh my God, you're right, Adam. I did interview. You did well, by the way. You did well. That's why you're here. Yeah, okay. Good job. Good job.
I think a suggestion for candidates who might be wanting to interview with us is to come to those interviews just relaxed. We're not trying to trick people into any kind of hard questions. This is generally a conversation, as Erica was saying, to understand how well they would do within Farfetch, because as a company, we've been growing massively. We really need to find the right type of people.
And this also segues into another topic I wanted to ask you about, which is, what about people who want to switch into a data career, but who haven't worked in data before? So, I mean, my example, I used to be an archaeologist. And obviously, like, I was doing statistics and I had data, so maybe I don't count. But I know lots of people are interested. What do you guys think? Like, has that happened to you? Do people come up to you and say, hey, how can I be a data scientist or whatever?
I don't think any of us started our career as data scientist. I was a physicist and then I've been a patent examiner. And then I became a data scientist, which is clearly not a very linear career path.
Isn't that what Einstein did?
Without the data science part, I think.
Right, he did other things. But I mean, like,
yeah, he became like a physics genius. I decided data science instead.
For the listeners, Paolo has Einstein hair, so the resemblance is uncanny.
Perfect. Now, you're hyping up expectations with what I'm going to say, but I think really the part is, I think this is also related to the fact that we're discussing the data space is not as crystallized. And so it's actually relatively easy to move into the data space. Now, lots of people we're talking to and many candidates are interested in moving, particularly within data science, because they think it's the coolest job. And as a data scientist, I can say it's probably not the only cool job, in the
sense
that...
Spoilers, what? I didn't think you were going to say that. I think you'd be like, as a data scientist, of course.
I think the other jobs in the same family are also cool. And I think it's really a matter of personal preferences. So my suggestion for a candidate looking into career moves is to really talk to people working in the different domains and figure out what's the area they would enjoy the most, because data science won't be the perfect fit for everybody.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, as you said that, like, so because I'm working with both data scientists and data analysts, I'm like, all joking aside, I completely agree with you. And I think sometimes when I talk to somebody, especially if they're at the start of making that transition away from whatever they were doing before into data, when they talk about the sorts of things that they find fascinating, it'll be like really going deep with a problem and like uncovering problems in data and making understanding a situation and making a recommendation. And I'm like, that's data analytics in terms of how we use that term at Farfetch. And to me, that's really addictive problem solving type stuff. Data science, gets all the big like headlines and things like that. But like anyone can copy and paste 4 lines of Python, you know, so what?
I don't think that there's that many blockers to starting a career in data, regardless of whether you want to be a data engineer, data scientist, or data analyst, or any of the other kind of affiliated roles. I think one of the key things, though, is that generally some of the, unless it's like an entry-level program or graduate program, a lot of them will expect you to have some kind of interest or some kind of basic knowledge. So for example, as a data analyst, you might have to have some knowledge of SQL. It might not need to be particularly profound, but you need to have some kind of basic knowledge. If you're a data scientist, I would expect you to have some knowledge of Python or R. And if you're a data engineer, then it might be, again, Python, but Scala, or it depends upon the technology. But I think there's also some level of fluidity. So people can transition, and even at Farfetch, they do sometimes transition from like a data analyst to a data engineer, or it might be to a data scientist, or maybe from a data scientist to a data analyst, depending on what they want to do. So I think that there is also some fluidity. It's not like you've picked a career path and then you have to stick with it for the next 10 or 20 years. It's easy to transition, to move to something else. And there's a lot of transferable skills.
I think that's a great piece of advice. And I would really suggest to people looking into career changes to just start with something that is close to what they think they enjoy and they're able to do now, and then look into moving into some other areas if they have the opportunity. I think that's something that is happening quite frequently within Farfetch, as you said, Adam. And really what's important is getting started, getting your foot through the door. And then from there, you can move and explore other areas. And I think many companies have this level of flexibility, and we surely do in Farfetch.
I think it's important, especially building upon what Paolo said, that, and what he said right at the beginning about how our job profiles are very specific, but you know, lots of what we do is very specific to Farfetch. If you're new to data, you might not really understand what the different roles are and, for example, what a PM or product manager for data would do. There's a number of different roles that once you're exposed to, you will have a better understanding of where the right fit is and what are the mechanics of what they actually do in their day-to-day. And based upon that, you can make more of an informed decision.
And speaking about what other companies are doing and how that compares to what life at Farfetch is like, I was wondering, Adam, what have you observed, you know, because you joined Farfetch the most recently out of all of us. What do you think makes working in data at Farfetch unique compared to your experiences at other companies? Or maybe nothing's unique. Maybe we're just very standard people. I don't know.
One of them is that the people that I've been working with, I think are just very, very good people. And I mean, in terms of not only just working with them, because obviously we pre-select people for specific values that match with us. And obviously everyone on this call is awesome. But I mean, also technically, there's a lot of very good people at Farfetch in the different areas. And I think part of that is also being quite a young company where we've been, I think, particularly good at selecting people that are good within these different areas. The hierarchy is very flat. So it's very easy for people at different levels to have a massive amount of impact. And that's actually one of the things that also attracted me to Farfetch, is that it's a growing, fairly large company, but in some ways still operates like a bit of a startup. So it's very easy to kind of get involved in an area and to make a difference. And there's lots of areas where I can see we still need to improve, but there's people actively working towards it, and you actually have the ability to influence it, which is good. It takes lots of the things that, like Erica, you and I probably enjoyed, and Paolo as well. Like, we've all worked at startups, right? And we like the ability to be able to make a difference. And it's rare to find a company that's this big and is doing this well, where you can also do that. But the other thing that I wanted to mention is that, especially for like a data science team, which I've seen in other companies, data science at Farfetch, I feel, is very developed. So we actually have software engineers that support the different teams. We also have PMs that make sure you're actually working on high value products and features and solving problems that actually mean something. So I think that the setup in terms of the different job profiles working together is actually also, it's not like unique, but I think it's actually set up in a good way to give value. I don't know if Paolo, you probably agree with that.
I fully agree. And also, as the old timer in this call, I have to say that this data culture and this structure that you mentioned, and the fact that, for example, we work cross-functionally, has been something that has been developing over time and evolving. When I joined, it was much more siloed. We didn't have the same level of data culture and data maturity. And I really think we did a massive amount of work to make progress and work more cross-functionally, be more aligned in terms of how the different job families interact. And I really think the result of this is the amount of impact we're making and satisfaction of our stakeholders. I really, really think that part of what you described as being mature as data science team means that what we do really matters for the business and it is solving genuine problems we have and it gets used within the business. It sounds very trivial, but I know that there are businesses where many data science initiatives just end up dying without being adopted. I don't think that's the case for us, which it really shows the level of maturity and the effort we put in working very closely with the business.
Yeah, I agree, Paolo. Like I have worked in situations and I know of situations where you're a data scientist wanting to build an algorithm and your product doesn't have any customers. So you're building a theoretical algorithm based on training data, like it's never able to go live, which is always one of the kind of frustrations if you're at a really, really early stage when you just don't have the data. We definitely don't have that problem at Farfetch. We got buckets of data. If somebody wants to train something, we are very rarely saying we don't have enough data.
We also have plenty of big, important business problems to solve with this data. So
definitely,
that's a perfect scenario for data science.
And it's like that thing, like it's not like we've solved all the problems and we're just sitting back, you know, enjoying the fruits of our labor. As Farfetch grows, we just keep uncovering more problems to solve, which is super fun. And speaking of those new problems, I wanted to ask you guys about, you know, upcoming projects that you've got that you're excited about. So one example, like for me, is I work with the team that builds our search algorithms, and I'm really excited about, you know, coming up in the next couple months, we're going to be able to start a new project focused on the quality of our search algorithms, which sounds super boring, like, and it's very technical, but the idea to me that start really trying to measure something that is very difficult to measure and use that to reinforce the quality of what we do. So we're using, for example, human annotated data to improve the quality of our results. I'm really excited about what that's going to bring. What about you, Paolo? What exciting stuff do you have coming up next?
One of the new initiatives we're working on is to use machine learning to optimize how we work with influencers. And this is because we're working with hundreds of influencers. It's just a very manual process. The process whereby they get selected and we decide who are the influencers we're working with for different countries. It's just very manual.
When you say an influencer, this is like somebody like on Instagram who's a professional influencer, and that's sort of like a marketing channel for us. Is that how that works?
Yeah, it is a marketing channel. So that's, of course, quite big in the fashion space. And we are trying to scale this. And really, this is one of the scenarios where using data to scale and automate decision will make some manual processes easier. Right now, it's a process where the selection of influencers is very manual. It's based on some filters that are applied, for instance, and then there's some level of evaluation of the influencers that are selected through those filters. And what we really want to do here is using external data and the performance of influencers we already worked with to create some kind of scoring system that will allow us to do a shortlist. And instead of having thousands of influencers to sift through, having a much more compact list of people that are good candidates to work with. That's how we plan to really help the influencer team.
That sounds like it'll be a really awesome project. What about you, Adam? What are you excited about that you're going to start working on soon?
So there's a couple of things in two different areas. One of them is that we're working on a machine learning platform, which has actually kind of already been deployed, and we're building up use cases for it. So the machine learning platform is a collection of different technologies that have been put together as part of our new data platform. And it's designed to allow end-to-end production of deployment of machine learning models for different data scientists. So that's kind of exciting. We've got batch prediction already working, and we're going to be looking to see if we can get live serving of models at some point next quarter or in 2022. So that'll be really great for the company. Something else that we're doing in the analytics space is that we've got lots of these different analytics teams, and we're trying to work out the best way to coordinate and standardize and make sure everyone follows the right policies and best practices. And wherever they're lacking, then we can provide training. So we're creating this community of analytic champions to be able to support the different areas. And so creating that community is also going to be a good way to promote data culture, data literacy. So that's something else that's happening in these two different areas.
I love that. Data literacy is one of my favorite topics, you know, as a data person at Farfetch, but just also as a human being. I think the world needs more data, which is why I love coming to work every day and talking to you guys.
I actually had a question for Paolo to kind of follow up on his influencer example. So if you were going to produce this kind of scoring system, what would you use as like your kind of target? You said you would use like external data to be able to, you'd use external data and you'd also use how much money the influencer brings in?
Well, we have worked with a few hundred influencers in the past, and we know how some of those we know how they performed. What we're trying to do is, based on external data, can we predict how influencers we haven't worked with in the past would perform? So this is really the task we're trying to work on.
And how do we even work out how an influencer has performed? Are we able to have like a direct connection as to the influencer has provided us with these sales or these referrals?
I think we are tracking some of them as affiliates, and I think we're tracking some other influencers through promo codes.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
But it just goes to show that measuring and tracking what's happening is one of those crucial things for any algorithm to work. All of that behind the scenes work of the data engineering and the tracking and the analytics, it's all part of the same picture.
Yeah, and data science, we're very much the last mile in some initiatives. We are really on the shoulders of giants in this case, because there's a lot of heavy lifting that happens before we even get the data that we don't necessarily have much visibility and appreciation for it.
Yeah. Well, and you guys know, like, one of the big projects that we've been working on for more than a year was retooling our clickstream tracking pipeline, the click data tracking, to make it a lot more performant, a lot faster for people to access, so that when people are using our internal analytics tools, like our self-service analytics tools, so that it can be a lot faster for people in the business. And it's one of, like, an example of one of those behind the scenes projects that affects so many people every single day. And now it's Adam's job to make sure it works.
Yeah, and it will work perfectly.
It's working so far.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those examples, like even the influencer is one of those examples where you can almost see the whole pipeline, like whatever Paolo relies upon is multiple teams work in order to get there. You do need the engineers to produce the data pipeline to create the data, but you probably also needed those analysts to begin with to actually analyze the data and make sure that it's actually fit for purpose.
Yeah.
And the only way they realize it's fit for purpose is because you start reporting on it. You actually start to use it.
And one thing that surprised me when I joined Farfetch, so I joined at this time of year, which meant that I was still very new when it came to the pre-Christmas sales season. And I didn't realize how much of a deal it was having so much more traffic hitting our website. Obviously, like, our actual website is built very robustly in terms of the traffic that we handle, but then to handle the same amount of data being processed on the analytics side, that became then the thing that we were really tense about. So Adam, how do you feel with sales season coming up? Are you gonna sleep well knowing that our pipelines will hold up?
I think that I will, actually.
Nice. You heard it here.
Yeah, I mean, I generally think that When it comes up to peak season, generally there's a kind of, what's the right term? Keyboards, I don't know what keyboards off, I forgot what the term is. But basically, it's very unlikely that we're going to commit any code.
Yeah,
so we're going to be fairly static and stable. One of the big things that we'll be interested in is we'll be, kind of very concise on what reports are actually required during that period.
Yeah.
And then we need to make sure that those reports, those high priority reports, are the ones that we actually make sure are performant, which, I mean, it is difficult, but we've been doing this for a few years now. So last year, I think we went through quite a bit of work trying to make things more efficient, more optimized. And this year, I think we've got a bit more of a process for what we want to do. I mean, things can always go wrong, but I feel like at least we've got a process to be able to make sure that things are fairly robust, which is the most you can do in a fast-moving company, right?
And it's super exciting. Like, yeah. You know, it kind of reminds me of so I'm Canadian, and people in the UK where I live always apologize that the UK can't handle snow. And I'm like, you're not supposed to handle snow. You get it like once a year. You know, you can't build, you can't afford to have all of the snow plows that this country would need in order to process all the snow that you need. And it's a bit like that, like in terms of our business decisions around our data infrastructure, is like we have to make the right decisions so that we can scale for this brief period where we've suddenly got a tenfold increase in the amount of data that we're processing.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's only the increase in amount of data, it's also the increase in amount of decisions that need to be made very quickly in that period.
Yes.
So higher stakes and really much more pressure on the teams to just deliver what they always do, but just because there are more eyes looking at that.
Yeah. It's one of those days when really hourly decisions or even sub-hourly decisions become really important because they can have a huge revenue impact. So if something isn't working or if there's a promotion that isn't up and running, like people need to know. You need to know immediately.
It's exciting. So this is the calm before the storm of the busy sales season coming up. On that note, I think we'll leave it there. So thank you, Adam and Paolo, for such a great conversation today on today's episode of Farfetch Threads. And thank you to everyone who has been listening. Stay tuned and see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you never miss an episode of Farfetch Threads by subscribing to our Spotify and Farfetch People YouTube channel. If you're ready to do what's never been done, visit farfetchcareers.com